seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back for more Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive, and plenty to get into on the show today. I think it's going to be fun. Local end, we're going to talk swimming. Garmin-Ledi Dinos clinching their third consecutive state championship this past Saturday. Coach Allie Chamberlain will join us over the phone. Looking forward to that. Also, we're going to pay homage to a movie that was released 25 years ago to this day. A sports movie, of course. But it's a sports movie where we've had the pleasure of interviewing multiple people involved with it that played a huge role in the comic factor. I'm looking forward to it. Well, I'm going to play you some of those clips. Maybe you can guess what movie it was. Came out 25 years ago. To this day, it was released to theaters. I'm looking forward to that. Plus, we have to talk NBA basketball and the Utah Jazz last night. Utah looked great, topping the Philadelphia 76ers. No Joel Embiid in that game. Doesn't take away the fact that Utah really had to fight early on because Ben Simmons was phenomenal last night. Ben Simmons, who set a career high. He had 19 points on 7 of 8 shooting in the first quarter. 76ers had 42 points, and the Jazz were only down 7. See, they're finding multiple ways to win games. And that's what I really like about this Jazz team. Is it sustainable? We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Let's start, however, by talking about the NBA and Draymond Green. Always good for a sound clip, right? Draymond Green goes on a rant last night post-game talking about double standards. Called out the NBA and the treatment of its players. Yesterday we talked about Andre Drummond. What's the market look like for Andre Drummond? What's it look like for Blake Griffin, who's not going to play again until Detroit either trades him or buys him out? Draymond Green said he had a problem with that and went on this epic rant. I'll play it in its entirety for you. Here's his rant from last night.
I would like to talk about something that's really bothering me, and it's the treatment of players in this league. To watch Andre Drummond before the game sit on the sideline, then go to the back, and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him. Because when James Harden asked for a trade and essentially dogged it, I don't think there was no surprise or no, you know, there's no one's going to fight back that James was dogging it his last days in Houston. But he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team, and everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come out and say, oh, we want to trade a guy, and then that guy is to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer, and he's not good in someone's locker room, and he's the issue. And we've seen situations of Harrison Barnes getting pulled off the bench. You know, DeMarcus Cousins finding out that he's traded in an interview after the All-Star game. And we continue to let this happen. But I got fined for stating my opinion of what I thought should happen with another player. But teams can come out and continue to say, oh, we're trading guys, we're not playing you. And yet we're to stay professional. At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person in the world when you want a different situation. But a team can say they're trading you, and that man is to stay in shape. He is to stay professional. And if not, his career is on the line. At some point, this league has to protect the players from embarrassment like that. You know, we talk all of this stuff about – You can't do this. You can't say that publicly. If you say that publicly, you're fine. Anthony Davis got fined, I think, $100,000 or something like that for demanding a trade publicly. But you can say Andre Drummond's getting traded publicly and we're looking to trade him publicly and he's to stay professional and just deal with it. But then when Kyrie Irving say, oh, my mental health is off, everybody go crazy about that too. Do you not think that affects someone mentally? As much as we put into this game to be great, to come out here and be in shape, to produce for fans every single night, and most importantly, to help your team win, do you think that doesn't affect someone mentally? But as players, we're told to, no, you can't say that, you can't say this, but teams can? It goes along the same lines of when everyone wants to say, oh, man, that young guy can't figure it out. But no one wants to say the organization can't figure it out. At some point, the players must be respected in these situations, and it's ridiculous, and I'm sick of seeing it. Y'all have a great night. I'll see y'all tomorrow or Wednesday.
Again, that's Draymond Green last night ripping what he calls a double standard in the NBA. Now my thoughts. Is he right? In some aspects, he was correct. For instance, when he pointed out that James Harden dogged it in Houston, yes, he was absolutely correct. What he failed to mention when he talked about James Harden is that as a franchise, the Houston Rockets did absolutely everything they possibly could to make it work for James Harden. Everything. They offered him a 2-year, $100 million deal. They pulled off a trade that landed Chris Paul one of the largest contracts in the league. When that didn't work, they moved on and they tried to reunite him with Russell Westbrook. When that didn't work, they decided that they would move Westbrook for the only contract they could get in return in John Wall. They literally did everything they could for James Harden, and he dogged it. See, I thought Draymond left that out of his rant last night. As far as Andre Drummond is concerned, I find it very hard to feel bad for a guy who's making $28.7 million this season and has been informed by a franchise that he is not in their long-term plans. Now, does Andre Drummond have to keep a professional? Yes. Does Andre Drummond need to stay in shape? Yes. Why? Because he is paid to be that guy. I speak a different language in this regard. I'll never see eye to eye with the players. Does there need to be mutual respect? Yes, absolutely. However, when you own an NBA franchise, you assume all the risk. And the idea that players need to be treated with the same respect as teams. No, look, if you don't like it, don't play. It's a job, right? That's the way this works. Somewhere along the lines, players in the NBA, and it's starting to trickle over into college as well, with college athletes wanting to be paid. I think it's along the same lines here. Somewhere, they've got it etched in their brain that fans watch because of them. And that's just simply not the case. I mean, there are players over the course of history that I could count on five hands that I would go watch in charity games or if they played overseas. I could count that on one hand. Now, maybe you're different than me. I don't know. But you watch for the team and the brand. I don't agree with Draymond here. And I know I'm in the minority because last night, Twitter, they were praising Draymond, and I appreciate the fact that Draymond can get on and voice his opinion. He feels strongly about it, and he was correct. Again, I said that there were times where he was right in this rant. It does affect a player mentally. I understand that. Did it affect Kyrie mentally? Absolutely. These guys are human beings. I understand that. But for you to expect to have the same amount of respect as a franchise that's paying you millions and millions of dollars, it doesn't work that way. I mean, it seriously doesn't. Now, there have been occasions where you can look at it. It's comparing apples to oranges. Not every occasion is the same. All right, this Andre Drummond deal, he's in the last year of his contract. Cleveland wants to move on from him. And if Andre wasn't in the final year of that deal, I maybe could see Andre Drummond's point here. The last thing the Cavaliers want is for Drummond to get hurt at this point in time, knowing that they're going to move on from him. But guess what? When they do, Andre Drummond's still going to get that $28 million that he signed up for this year. And so for Draymond Green to come out and talk about James Harden getting ripped to shreds for demanding a trade and wanting a new situation, now, it wasn't the way he did that. I think it would have been respectable if James Harden would have just flat out said at the beginning of the year, look, I'm not a part of this. That guy dogged it intentionally. Teams need to look out for their interest as well because they are the ones assuming the risk financially. And when I said it was comparable to college, it's comparable in the fact where if you don't like it, you don't have to play. It's not a right. It's not a right to play basketball in the NBA. It's not a right to play basketball at the NCAA level. It's not. It's a privilege. And I respect Draymond Green for coming out and voicing his opinion. I just simply don't agree with it. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. It's an off night for the Utah Jazz. They'll return to the court tomorrow, see if they can keep the stellar play intact. Tonight, we do have a short slate of games. Denver will take on Boston at 5 p.m. We get the Pelicans and the Grizzlies at 6. Also, the Raptors will take on the Bucks at 6 p.m. We get the Lakers and the Timberwolves also in the 6 o'clock hour, plus Portland and Oklahoma City. Nightcap game tonight, it's Brooklyn at Phoenix. No Kyrie Irving, no Kevin Durant in that contest. We're going to break for just a moment. Local sports coming up, plus a whole lot more right here on Drive Time Sports.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We had a massive accomplishment Saturday night on the local sports front. Curb and the Lady Dado swim team clinched their third straight state championship. The coveted three-peat. That's a big deal in sports. Three-peat's a big, it's a big word, it's a big term because it doesn't happen very frequently. Not only in the professional sports realm, college, high school, it just doesn't happen. The Lady Dinos accomplished that on Saturday. Congratulations to them. We're going to focus on that accomplishment right now and bring in our next guest, head coach Allie Chamberlain, joining us over the phone. Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coach, I know it was a very long year. You guys went through so many ups and downs, and we can talk about how you guys managed to work through those. But the bottom line is the Lady Dinos win their third consecutive state championship, and that's officially a dynasty in my mind. You don't see that every day. It's hard enough to win back-to-back, much less three straight. And you guys pulled off that accomplishment this past weekend.
Yes, we did. And it was rough, but we did it.
As far as the routine, it was so much different this year. You and I had some conversations via text or over the phone about just how much different it was for you guys to compete at the state tournament this year. What were some of the difficulties that the kids had to face this year compared to any year previous?
As far as the state championship, they didn't have boys and girls to give them the extra rest that they needed. So it was pretty much just swimming back to back to back to back. It was exhausting for them. I felt terrible.
And as you mentioned, back to back to back to back, and the boys couldn't be there to see the girls and vice versa. And that's a big part of swimming.
Yep. I mean, they are in the pool together every day, you know, for 6, 4 months, 5 months. And so then to not be able to cheer the other ones on, and that's hard for them. It was a struggle, but we did make sure we had a live stream going at the hotel, and just so they could feel like they were there supporting, but it was hard. It was a really hard year.
Well, let's talk about some of the top performers at the state championship. And again, you guys only, if I'm not mistaken, Coach, you guys won two events, right? The girls won two out of the 11 events.
Yes, correct. We won the 200 medley relay and the 200 freestyle relay.
And so again, you guys have to rely on depth scoring, and that's, it's the fun part about swimming. It's the fun thing about track and field. I mean, every single point matters. You go back to 2 years ago, you guys won a state championship by 1 point. I know it was a little bit different this year. You did have a little bit of a cushion. But you guys are really relying on those second and third place finishes. And we can talk about one event in particular. You guys had two top three finishes. That was in the 100-yard breaststroke.
Yes. Top three finishes. Nicole Swayze actually broke the state, or not the state, but the our school record on Friday at prelims, and then went into finals second, but Tiersa kind of out-touched her. So we went 2 and 3 in finals. It was awesome.
What were some of the other events, Coach, that were monumental and you guys coming out on top?
Honestly, our sprinters with their freestyle, we were able to get four in the top 16 in both those events. That's big. There's just big points there. So that sprints always help us out a lot.
I know that this year was also different because you did lose some key seniors last year. And so, Coach, you had to rely on freshmen. And with everything that's gone on this year, that I'm not saying anything negative about any freshmen, but that's probably a little unsettling in a sense, isn't it?
Well, you just don't know how they're going to, you know, perform. They've never been there before. They don't know what it's like to perform on a big stage. But these freshmen, they killed it. They did so good. I'm proud of them.
When you say handling it on a big stage, did you notice any sort of nerves from the underclassmen?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, what? It's definitely nerve-wracking for them, but they handled it like champs.
So how important was it that you had such a experienced senior and junior group, knowing that these girls, they have won state championships before? I'm sure that was a big help.
It was helpful, and they were able to cheer these girls on and, you know, give them the extra boost that they needed and just keep everything positive. And it looks like we ran away with it, but if Judge Memorial had not DQ'd their 200 free relay, it probably went closer between, I don't know, somewhere around between 2 and 7 points. So it definitely was. It wasn't as easy as it looks, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, Coach, I got to ask you, at what point in time did you say, okay, we got this?
As soon as Judge DQ'd that relay.
You knew right then and there.
So I knew right then and there. I knew that we had it. I mean, it just took my breaststrokers to, you know, get in, finish where they needed, and my 400 free relay to not DQ. And luckily they didn't, so.
Yeah, so I'm sure at that point in time you were able to relax a little bit, and you had talked to me. You wanted to sit in the stands at some point, right, and just experience it.
Yeah, and this time I did. I was actually able to sit in the stands. They're pretty close to the pool, so you're not, like, far away like BYU. So I was able to sit there, feel like I was, I don't know, it was just, it didn't seem as intense to me, and I needed that.
Yeah. Well, I asked you this over the phone on Sunday night, you and I, when we had a conversation, I asked you, how different is the third from the first or the second? And are they any different? Or are they like your kids? You love them all the same. I mean, have you been able to differentiate the three?
Yeah, like the first one, it really truly wasn't expected. They performed, they did awesome, and they came out on top. So that was crazy fun. The second one, I knew we had a pretty good shot at it. And this one, we had to work for. So I feel like I was a lot more stressed going into this one. But they all, as far as enjoying them and, you know, how great they feel, that part's all the same.
Yeah, the three-peat is such a big, it's a common word in the world of sports, and it's almost like a gauge, right? It's almost like it's a level that everyone tries to obtain. And I always use references local sports to national sports, right? We don't see three-peats in baseball. We don't see three-peats in football. We saw three-peat with Michael Jordan of the Bulls, and then we saw three-peat with Kobe Bryant. Like, it's a level of perfection that I believe every team tries to obtain, but it's so damn rare, Coach.
It is. And honestly, I have the best group of kids, and I don't know. I mean, it's them. They're the ones that perform. They're the ones that work, put all the hard work in, and they want it. It's just awesome.
So
the competition is stiff. I mean,
yeah.
It comes down to the fact that we build a good program, and I'm so grateful, you know, that people want to be a part of it. So
at what point do you start thinking about a fourth? Have you done that yet?
No. I just want to bask in this for a minute.
Yeah. You never know the answer to that. I mean, I've talked to some coaches that are like, yeah, we get started the very next day. Well, what about the returning kids? I mean, have they even talked about that, running it back for a fourth time, the kids that you have returning next year? I know you lose some key seniors, but those underclassmen, have they mentioned it to you?
Oh, yeah. Everyone, I mean, that's the goal. The goal is to always win, most definitely. It's just, it always comes down to what we have. Do we have the depth? Do we have, you know, we're losing some key seniors in some key areas, you know, a breaststroker and a flyer, that's pretty big. So to be able to fill those shoes is it's definitely harder than if you're, you know, lose a sprinter or something. But if they want it bad enough, they can do it. There's no doubt. I mean, they've proved it to me three times in a row now, so.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember talking to you after the first one and just how intimidating that's going to be for teams to walk into the wave pool and see state champions. Now they walk in, they're going to see a three-peat. That's as intimidating as it gets.
Yep. And, I mean, we have a good team. It's pretty awesome. I love it. Not only did they win, they also, both my boys and girls, ended up with the highest GPA, so they ended up getting the Academic All-State Team Awards as well.
Yeah, which, I mean, ultimately you want to win, but in the same sense, you got to win in the classroom as well. So to take home a double championship, I'm sure, is even more precious. In fact, Coach, I know you love holding up a state championship trophy, but in the same sense, you would probably just be just as happy, I would assume, with these kids succeeding in the classroom.
Oh, heck yeah. And that's what's cool, is that they succeed in both areas. Like, swimming is time-consuming. These kids swim 5,000 yards a day, which, I mean, if you look at that, that's like 200 lengths of the pool every single day, and then they've got to have time for their academics on top of it, and they're able to balance. It's just phenomenal that they're able to do as much as they do.
Again, Coach Allie Chamberlain of the Carbon Dino Swim Squad, our guest right now. Coach, we have to talk about the boys as well. I know all the focus has been on the girls, and rightfully so, for winning that third straight title, but you got a pretty solid performance from the boys group on top of it.
Oh, 100%. I got to hand it to them. Last year we came out 12th. And this year we were able to come out 5th. That is big.
It's a huge jump. Huge, huge jump. And, Coach, you got a lot of young guys on this team as well.
Oh, yeah. We are not losing any boys this year. Hopefully we'll just gain some more.
And so when you stack up what you've seen from the rest of the competition, we'll say in the next year, maybe 2 years, it seems in my mind it's fully probable for these boys team to look at a state championship.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the amount of experience they gained in the past year and how hard they worked to get where they were, you know, this past weekend, crazy. If they keep that up and we just get some more depth, we will definitely be there. You know, I believe in them. They kind of get overshadowed by the girls, but it shouldn't be that way because they're just as amazing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Coach, we can end with this. Now that the season's over, what's the off season like for the swim team, and when do you guys get back at it?
I usually let them take a month off. We try to get back at it mid-March, early April, and then not quite as many days in the pool, but we'll get back in. We'll have them back in the water soon.
Well, Coach, as always, it is a pleasure to get you on the show. Congratulations. Just an incredible accomplishment to you and your girls, and I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you so much.
Again, that's Coach Allie Chamberlain of the Carbon Lady Dino Swim Team. The three-peat. They did it. Congratulations. You can get the complete recap right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. We're going to break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk about a specific sport movie. Today marks the 25th anniversary of this cult classic. We'll talk about that when we return. It's Drive Time Sports.
Since they want to know. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Welcome back into Drive Time Sports. Let's spend this segment talking about the anniversary of a sports movie. We do that from time to time. Last year, we had Anthony C. Hall on the show when we were talking about the anniversary of Blue Chips. It's a great movie. One of my favorite basketball movies. And just to tell you how fast time flies, on this date back in 1996, Happy Gilmore was released into the theaters. 25 years ago today, that movie came out. Everybody's seen Happy Gilmore. And if it's been a while, maybe you forgot just how funny it is. Here's the classic trailer.
For 400 years, golf has been a gentleman's game. A game of tradition, etiquette, and above all, sportsmanship. Until now.
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah!
Meet Happy Gilmore. He was a hockey player.
That's my puck, baby! Don't you ever touch my puck!
Who was skating on thin ice. But when his grandma needed his help,
Mrs. Gilmore owes the IRS $270,000. We're going to have to sell the house to someone else.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old.
He discovered a new talent.
The house is like 400 yards away. That's unbelievable.
Now he's going from the links.
Step right up, folks. See if you can outdrive the amazing golf ball whacker guy.
To the links.
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
I'm your caddy.
He's going to be on the tour. That's super.
Universal Pictures presents Adam Sandler.
The price is wrong, Bob.
As golf's missing link, Happy Gilmore.
It is my favorite sports comedy of all time. It's tough to say. I would put it above Caddyshack. It's tough to say, but I would. And maybe it's an age thing. You know, I was 10 when this movie came out. And I could actually quote this movie word for word. Like right now, I could just quote the entire script word for word. You know, we have to do best of shows from time to time. Like if I want to take a day off or if I got to travel out of the area for a basketball game, we have to do best of shows. And so I had this idea a long time ago that I would accumulate enough interviews to do a best of Happy Gilmore show. And that was the goal. And I nailed two of the more difficult interviews. I've come up short as far as Carl Weathers or Adam Sandler or Christopher McDonald, but two names that are well known that really add to the comedy of this flick are Bob Barker and Vern Lundquist. And we had both of those guys on the show. And so for me, it was a golden opportunity, right? I mean, how can you have Bob Barker on Drive Time Sports and not talk to him about Happy Gilmore? And the scene is just epically classic.
Guy's driving me crazy.
You know what's driving me crazy? You not getting the ball in the hole.
Don't push me, Bob. Now's not the time.
I can't believe you're a professional golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
You better relax, Bob.
There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go. You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
So how in the world did Adam Sandler rope in Bob Barker for that specific scene? Well, it's been about 8 years now since I conducted that interview here on Drive Time Sports, but I did ask Bob Barker just that. Mr. Bob Barker, before I let you go, I got to go back over and talk some sports. Obviously, one of the greatest, greatest scenes in movie history as far as sports go, that's you and Happy Gilmore. I got to ask you about that.
Oh, Jordan. You know, that movie was released in 1994. And I did Price is Right until 2007. And I never did a show after the movie was released that the audience didn't want to talk about Happy Gilmore. Right up till the last day I was there. And particularly young men. They loved that scene. They loved it. They used to ask me, could you really whip Adam? Could you really beat up Adam in real life, could you? And I'd say, are you kidding? Adam Sandler couldn't whip Regis Philbin. I went up there to do that movie. We did it in Canada. And, or at least my scenes were in Canada. And so I was at a hotel there the night before, and the director came over, and he said... we went over the script, and he said, well, and he said, Bob, don't worry about those fight scenes. He said, I have a double, and he'll do the fight scenes for you. And I said, are you kidding? I said, I'm up here. I said, I've been studying karate with Chuck Norris for probably 12, 15 years now, and I have never won a fight. Chuck comes over and beats me up every day that we work out. And I said, I came up here to win a fight. And I said, I'm going to do my own fighting. And so he said, fine, go for it, man.
One of the great scenes in sports movie history. I love it when Adam says, now you're going to get it, Bobby. You just take him to Funky Town.
Well, Chuck saw the movie and he was proud of me.
How did you get that part? How did that whole negotiation process go?
Well, believe it or not, Adam, you know, he's a pretty talented guy, and he's not just an actor and owner and producer of his movies. He helps in the writing. And he wrote the whole scene with me. without me even knowing it. And he wanted me to, I guess it was because it was so out of character for me, he wanted me to come over there and beat him up. And so when they called me and asked me if I'd come over and do this fight scene, I said, well, who wins the fight? And they said, you win the fight. I said, I'll be there.
Again, that was a previous interview with Bob Barker here on Drive Time Sports, one of my favorite interviews that I've ever had the pleasure of doing. The other one was Vern Lundquist. And if you're a play-by-play nut like I am, I love it. I love all things play-by-play. I've had the opportunity to talk to several legendary announcers, and Vern Lundquist has got to be close to the top of that list. No question. This guy is legendary in every sense. You could go through all the calls that Vern Lundquist has made. And even when Happy Gilmore first came out, I mean, I was like 10. Vern Lundquist to me was hilarious. That here's one of the best commentators in the sport. It just brought a level of realness to a very slapstick style of humor. Here's just a couple of those epic calls in this movie.
The golfers of the Tour Championship are ready to hit the links. There may be 63 professionals vying for the title of world's best, but in the minds of the spectators, there are really only two. Tour kingpin Shooter McGavin and bad boy Happy Gilmore, fresh off his recent suspension. And wouldn't you know it, they've been paired together. After one day, Shooter McGavin is in the lead, but the big surprise is young Happy Gilmore, nipping at his heels and trailing by only one stroke. Shooter from the sand, playing like he really wants that jacket. I knew Happy Gilmore was tough, but I can't believe he's going to keep playing after being hit by that car. Oh, this looks like the end for Happy Gilmore. Shooter now has a commanding lead. Gilmore can sink this. It will cap an amazing comeback.
Oh my God! Incredible! Happy Gilmore wins the gold jacket!
All right, so again, if you have Vern Lundquist on Drive Time Sports, you have to ask him about Happy Gilmore. This was like a 30-minute interview, but fit in a couple of minutes to talk about Happy Gilmore. I'd be doing myself a disservice, rather, if I didn't bring this up. We just had Bob Barker on the show with us not too long ago, and he went down, talked about his time in the movie Happy Gilmore. You actually played a very big role in that film as well.
Yeah, and it comes up all the time.
Of course it does.
That's not bad. That film was made in 1996. My part of it was all done in one day in Vancouver. But it's the greatest thing for me is that it's become kind of a cult classic with college kids. And of course, I spent almost all my working life in college campuses. And just recently, I was in New York last week, and I did a workshop at Fordham University for radio and television majors. And I did a little biographical presentation, and then we opened it up for Q&A, and I probably had 30 people in there. And the very first question was, please tell us about the experience of doing Happy Gilmore. So it's a good thing. I mean, it keeps... I'm in my early 70s, and I'm dealing with kids in their upper teens or early 20s, and to have that movie out there and them enjoy watching it gives me a little bit of a contact with them that is very, very appreciated.
Yeah, so, I mean, when we talk Duke, Kentucky, you talk to 50th Masters, all these great calls that you've had, including, you know, 2006, we can go to the NCAA Men's Basketball Regionals, all that, still it's up there with Who the Hell is Happy Gilmore? That's got to be one of your most famous calls, right?
That's it. That'll be on my tombstone.
Classic. Those are two of my favorite interviews. Seriously, two of my favorites. When you look at the history of this movie, the budget was $12 million. And to the box office, it went on to gross $41 million. And then I think the most epic scene of all, it's Bob Barker and Happy Gilmore. And that's one of the most epic sports movies, fictional sports movie scenes ever. You just don't expect it, right? The cult following that this movie has, it's epic and legendary. I mean, there are kids who weren't even alive when this movie was released that can quote it. Because it's that fantastic. It also was the breakout movie in my mind for Adam Sandler. And I think one of the more hilarious facts about this movie, the scene with Bob Barker beating up Happy, it actually increased the ratings for The Price is Right among younger demographics. And as you heard in that clip, that interview that we had with Bob Barker, he said every day someone asked him about that movie. Every day. And it was probably a younger generation. And when you look at the pop culture impact, I mean, it's ever growing. It's not going anywhere. It's one of my favorite movies ever. And the fact that that came out 25 years ago today, I thought we had to play a couple of clips and take a break from the normal sports talk here on Drive Time Sports, play a couple of the clips from Vern Lundquist and Bob Barker, and of course some of the scenes from the movie. 25 years ago today, Happy Gilmore was released. Go home and watch it tonight. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll be back in just a moment right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We'll close out this edition of the show by talking Utah Jazz basketball.
Take note.
Look, last night, Travis, that was impressive. I know that Philly didn't have Joel Embiid, I know. But the thing that continues to strike me with this team is they're finding different ways to win games.
Well, that's what you have to do. Who cares about the other
teams?
Yeah. Yeah, really good teams find ways to win no matter who's on the opposite side, who's missing. You still have to win those games, and they've won 19 out of 20.
Yeah, and last night, again, there were career highs from Ben Simmons, not only for the entire game, but also the first quarter is what impressed me most. Because it's 42-35 at the end of the first quarter. Ben Simmons, again, was 7 of 8, had 19 points. And the Jazz were only down 7. And in my mind, even if Joel Embiid is out there, the 76ers offensively played a perfect quarter, and the Jazz were within 7 points. Now, Embiid changes things up drastically, don't get me wrong. He's probably second or third right now in the MVP race. I think he's that important to the team. But Jordan Clarkson, and this is a guy that you and I have followed for a very, very long time. He was tremendous last night. And I was talking to another friend about this today. Can Clarkson keep this pace up? I don't believe he can. I don't. Okay, I think there are limitations with Jordan Clarkson. However, I think he found his role. And I think that's part of the reason why he re-upped in Utah. And so the one thing that I would, for those who say that they don't know that Clarkson can keep this up, because look, I'm in that category. When he was with the Lakers, they were so bad that they had to rely on him as a starter and as a key component offensively. Then he goes to Cleveland. It was a team that wasn't good. I mean, they had LeBron James. He carried that squad. I mean, Kyrie Irving wasn't on that team. He was gone. And so Clarkson, again, had to play a more significant role than what he is capable of doing. I don't care that he scored 40 points last night. What he's doing right now is he's found an environment that fits him. He doesn't have to be the guy, and he's not even close to being the guy, and he's excelling because of it. That's my take on Clarkson.
Yeah, I said last year during the season that Jordan Clarkson was the most important player on the Utah Jazz, and I continue to say that now that we're at this point, because all he has to do is check in, catch, and shoot. Fire away. They don't want him to do anything else. You find your spots on the floor. You shoot the ball every time you get it. And he's having success. I mean, he's clear-cut the sixth man of the year. There's nobody else. He's going to win that award.
Yeah, he'll win the sixth man of the year award. I don't believe he's the most important player on the team. To me, it is Rudy Gobert. He's playing to that level. There's so many shots that this guy adjusts in the paint. That happened again last night. But Jordan Clarkson takes a lot of pressure off Donovan Mitchell, who I also believe is still more important. But Clarkson has found, he's a piece of the puzzle the Jazz were looking for. And it's just meshing. Now, this is a conversation that we can have on the show tomorrow. And I want to end today's show with this thought. And you can give me your brief yay or nay on this.
Okay.
I believe that the Jazz are playing at a higher level. Well, I don't believe we know. They're playing at a higher level than anyone in the league. But I almost feel as if they are the only team attempting to play at that level.
They are exerting a lot of energy in the regular season while everybody else is just pacing themselves.
Okay, so you agree?
I agree.
Okay, and now I'm not saying that's a bad thing because, look, you can look at this multiple ways. Last year, the Clippers, I thought they did the same thing, and chemistry was an issue late in the season.
Yeah, they remind me of what Milwaukee was doing last regular season. That's what Utah's doing this year.
Okay, so is it a situation where we go back to the Derrick Rose Chicago Bulls? And I think this Jazz team is better than the Rose Bulls. Don't get me wrong. I think they are better. But Tom Thibodeau gained that persona that reputation of being a regular season coach. I still believe there's some bad matchups in the Western Conference for the Jazz. A healthy Laker team, a healthy Nugget team. I don't really know about the Clippers right now because, again, it's a team that I believe is still trying to establish an identity.
What they did to Miami, the Clippers last night, missing four starters, that just shows you that they have some depth.
They do. They do. So, I am worried about the Jazz. I'm not booking a championship celebration just yet.
You're not on that note, huh?
No, not even close. Not even close. You?
No, and Jazz fans need to settle down because they're doing a lot of talking right now, and it's fun, it's exciting right now, but it's going to catch up with you because I don't think this team can beat the Lakers or the Clippers. They just don't. The matchups just don't work.
I don't know if they can beat the Nuggets.
The Nuggets. And if they get Phoenix, I don't know if they beat Phoenix.
Well, time will tell. There's still a lot of season left to be played. And look, the Jazz front office is very savvy. They can still make the necessary moves. I don't know that you need to make any moves. The thing I'm seeing right now, though, they're playing at a higher level than anyone. And I believe that they have had the right approach to the regular season more so than anyone. You can take that as an insult if you want. I firmly believe that is the case, and we'll talk more about that later on in the week. Out of time of the show today, he's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.